Hello, Saints. So today I did a study on pride. It's been a few days coming, and this will be a pride study with an angle that pride is a snare, so trap that Satan often lays for wicked people, and wicked people often fall into that trap, and how the Lord keeps the righteous from that trap, and what traps to look out for and whatnot. So we'll get right into it. I'll start with Psalm 31:20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. That word pride, and pride of man is rokas. Which actually, this is the only place in the scriptures that this word is used, and it means a snare, first and foremost, which is pride. It's like tied meshes, it says in Strong's definition. So, pride is a snare, the pride of man as a snare. So, first, I'll start off with some examples in scripture of pride being a snare. The first one, right away, is Eve wanting more than what God ordained in the garden. She was very proud, wanting more wisdom, and that's in Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the next example will be Pharaoh and his pride. It ultimately led to destruction. So we'll start at Exodus 10, verse 7. Now, this is Pharaoh's servants coming to Pharaoh and basically begging him to let the people go. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And then later on in Exodus 14:28, after his pride was ultimately a snare for him, he didn't let the people go, and God ultimately hardened his heart. But in Exodus 14:28, we see the results of it. And the waters returned. This is after the Lord parted the Red Sea, and he brought it back over the top of the armies of the Egyptians. Exodus 14:28, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. So Pharaoh's pride was a snare, ultimately leading to the destruction of his army. And the next one, David's pride led him to adultery and ultimately murder. And it was a terrible snare. And I'll start in 2 Samuel 11, 1 to 5. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. So those are some examples of pride being a snare early on in the scriptures there. And the snare of pride often catches those who commit evil. There's plenty of verses that say this, but here's just a few. Proverbs 29, verse 6. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. But the righteous doth sing and rejoice. I really like that verse. And then Psalm 9:16, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higayon Selah. So The Lord is known. I found that verse really interesting. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executes. He lets the wicked fall into their own snares, the work of their own hands, their own pride. So the next verse, Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And Brother Purgos actually brought up a really good point the other day about like the armor of man. If they don't have the armor of God, what are they putting on as their armor to protect them from the world? One of those things could be pride. And that's just something to just ponder, is just pride being kind of a defense of people from the word of God or from their fears or whatever it might be. And 1 Timothy 6:9, so this is New Testament, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. So pride, I mean, pride is like just a, it's a snare for those who commit evil. People that commit evil, they're more likely to fall into that snare of pride, but the righteous are kept from this snare. And it says that in quite a few verses, but here are just a couple. 1 Samuel 2:9. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. So the Lord will keep the feet of his saints. They won't get caught in that snare. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So the Lord will keep the righteous from falling into that snare of pride. And I'm going to list now just some things we got to watch out for in today in terms of pride that can kind of sneak in, be a snare, be a trap for people. And one of these is man's wisdom, intellectualism. That's a big one. And here are a few verses that kind of counter that. So I'm going to basically read some of the snares of pride and what does the scripture say about it. So Isaiah 55 verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's interesting because I didn't even put this in my notes, but I mentioned Eve above in Genesis 3 and talked about how her pride made her fall. And then 2 Corinthians talked about the serpent beguiling Eve through his subtlety, basically taking her away from the simplicity of serving God. And this is talking about the simplicity that's in Christ, so I find that kind of interesting. Next being status, fame, and reputation. A lot of people get puffed up in pride in this. And the scriptures say, James 1:9-10, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. And then a good one, Galatians 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So you really got to keep yourself in check in terms of status, fame, and reputation, and make sure it's biblically sound. You don't want to fall into that snare of pride. The next one being possessions. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And another good one, Ecclesiastes 5:15-16, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go, and what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? So your possessions will go away. There's no point in getting puffed up about them. Everything is owned by the Lord. And the last one, health and strength. Psalm 147:10-11. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. So your strength means nothing to the Lord. It's about where your heart is. And Psalm 33:16, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. So the conclusion, and I just have one verse to read, or a couple verses to read here. Jeremiah 9:23-24, and I saw this one today. It's such a good one for pride to close it out. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So that's that study.
Awesome, brother. Thank you. I just want to share a couple verses. If I repeat any verses that you did, I apologize. First, when I think of pride, the first thing I think of is I think of Satan's fall. He wanted to be like God, so it's like the ultimate pride. And that's like the first sin we see in history. It would be Satan falling. And then you mentioned Eve falling into pride. And Proverbs 6:17 comes to mind. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. That's pretty severe. I don't think it gets any worse than abomination. A proud look is the first one. Lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. A proud look. So that's like somebody that's obviously dealing with pride. That's somebody that likes to walk in pride, believe there's something, dress up in pride, makeup, jewelry, clothing, can be that. It can be all kinds of things. Ready? It can be more than that. I live in $1 million house because I got enough money to build one because I want people to look and see how much money I got. Why do you think guys drive fancy Lamborghinis and have 20 of them? I want people to know I got money, the pride, all these things. James 4:6. You want to know why you shouldn't be proud? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Grace is the ability, it's favor, but it's the ability to live out what God has called us to do. So he gives us power. And then we don't want to be like these people. 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is talking about the last days. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Look at that. Look at what pride does to you. And then the last verse I thought of, Psalm 31:23. The opposite of this negative pride. Psalm 31:23. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully, can't say that word, rewardeth the proud doer. I love that. So we're supposed to root out all pride, but all pride should be rooted out that's built in us. If we're proud of doing God's work and we're proud to be a children of the King and we're proud to proclaim God's word and it's all built on Christ, it's okay to be a proud doer. A similar idea of that is boasting. Is boasting a sin?
Depends on the context.
Right, just like pride. So if I boast in myself, oh, I'm the greatest street preacher ever, and I know the word of God better than anybody, and I'm really something, wow, I'm wicked and prideful. What if I boast in Christ and what he's done in me? What if I boast about his second coming? What if I boast about his shed blood? Then I'm a boaster. Paul was a boaster in Christ. So that proud doer, I like that. I like that because it. You know what I love about God's word? It's like light and darkness are the opposites, and I like that pride. You got man's pride, and then you got that pride of being a proud doer unto God. So those were just kind of my thoughts I wanted to throw in there. Brothers, your brothers got any thoughts?
One I did have, but you kind of stole most of my verses.
There's a whole bunch more.
There is, but when I think of pride, I always think of James and Peter. They both use the same statement, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And it's kind of that thought that you want to be prideful and think you're something. You know what? God himself is going to resist you, and that should terrify you.
Yeah, that's scary.
I mean, who wanted the man that wants to strive with his maker? Yeah. You wanna be prideful, God's gonna resist you. I mean, humble yourselves, okay? Because if you humble yourselves, he'd lift you up. You don't humble yourself, it's he's gonna crush you, basically.
Amen.
You know, an interesting thought that just came to mind when you said that we're told to resist the devil, and God resists us when we're being proud. I thought that's kind of an interesting illustration.
Yeah, who's the father of pride, right? Satan. Basically, yeah. He's like right. Like the first sin. I want to be like God, and he falls down in pride, right?
And here's another thing. I think I've probably said that before, but. If you go deep enough, pride is all rooted in a lie. Because especially in us men, you're prideful in yourself, you're nothing. You're a vapor that passes, and all of your pride is basically founded in you believing some lie or another about yourself and being deluded.
Are you saying pride in yourself is built on sand?
It's built on lies.
Well, sand is going to be washed away.
You want to be prideful about... Hey, look at what I can do. Look at what I got. You got nothing. You are nothing. You're vapor. You're dust. You're going to return to dust. Everything you have by the grace of God. It's like pride is all rooted in a lie. Yeah. God cannot be sinfully pride because everything that God is above all, right? Satan cannot be like God. His pride was a lie. That's why he's the father of lies.
Yeah, so that's what I meant. If you're building on sand... And then Christ says, build on the rock, which is him. He's the truth. What's the opposite of the truth? Lies. Your house is built on sand, and when the flood comes, it's going to wash all away. Pride, lifting myself up, is a lie, and it's all rooted in a foundation that's not going to stand on Judgment Day. And if you do ministry, we were talking about this. If you do ministry in pride, what's going to happen to any rewards?
It's going to be burned up.
Well, wait. In human pride, we learned you could be a proud doer. You can have godly pride. You can have godly pride.
Yeah, the godly pride, I think, is probably, I guess it's there, but I would have probably always worded it as you're not ashamed of Christ. You're proud to be in him. It's kind of a defining of terms, right? So that's good pride, to not be ashamed of Christ, because if you're not proud, you're kind of ashamed.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be ashamed of Christ.
Oh, yeah. No, it's right in Scripture. It tells us that we can be a proud doer. And like I said, it's like the opposite of boasting in ourselves versus boasting in Christ. Zealous for sin, zealous for good works. There's, you know, light and dark, good and evil, righteousness and sin. There's always an opposite side, right?
Yeah, amen.
So we can be proud. So here you go. Ready? I'm just trying to encourage people. I'm trying to encourage you. If you got a problem with pride, rip your self-pride down. Get zealous and proud to serve God. It's like I tell men all the time, man, you were zealous for sin in your worldly life. So was I. God helps you take that zeal and turn it into good. You don't have to get rid of the zeal. You turn it for good. So you don't have to get rid of your pride. Put it in the right place. You don't have to get rid of boasting. Put it in the right place. Make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, because that word says in Psalm 31 that I read, verse 23, that word proud doer, that word proud is gavaha. And it says, arrogance or majesty, implication, haughtiness, highness, proud, swelling up. Man, we ought to be swelled up and haughty about doing the things of God, preaching Christ crucified. Man, we should be, man, if people are proud to be rooting for their Kansas City Chiefs football team, what should we be for the Lord?
Yeah.
Ready? They always call us fanatics. What's a football fan? A fanatic. We should be that most for the Lord. We should be that most for the Lord.
Yeah, I remember this one verse. I'm just quoting from memory. It's in Proverbs somewhere. The fear of the Lord is to hate pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, pride in us is a terrible thing. Terrible thing that we got to root out. Brother Purgos, any thoughts?
Pride, it's a lie, it's delusion, it's a lifting up of yourself for any attribute. Formed the father of lies. Ezekiel 28:17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. God won't let any pride dwell in his tabernacle.
Nope, none. Let me ask you a question. We're on pride. So what is pride in a person? Let's put some real things to it. Put some teeth to it, like they say, or put some flesh to it, really, actually. What's pride in a person? Give me some examples.
Brother Akuo covered a lot of things people could be proud in.
So I threw out the obvious one. Women poofing their hair up, makeup, jewelry, they're proud in how they look. Men working out, tattoos, they're showing off. That's like physical pride. But let's go a little deeper. How does pride flare up? Let's focus on the life of a believer. A claimed believer, born again. Where does pride come in?
This goes for basically not just the believer, but for basically everybody. Pride flares up in not liking correction.
Yeah, that would be for everybody.
And it shows itself up there, and it shows itself up in everybody. It needs to be put down. When you think you're good enough, or you are where you're supposed to be, or whatever lie it is that you're believing, and it shows up as not liking or taking correction.
Yep.
And that goes for, like, you call out a worldly, a carnal Christian. It goes for the saints when you let it in you and you correct it. It goes for everybody. That's one way the pride really shows up.
Yep. So that's one. What's another one? I'm focused mostly on believers because I just want to help believers. The world is full of all kinds of pride, but I'm thinking mostly like born again true saints.
I think kind of going off of what Brother Zealous was saying, pride comes in when you perhaps read the scriptures, you read God's word, and you say, you kind of take it more as suggestion when it's really like commands to do things, to clean up things. You start to like make excuses perhaps, or like you try to like compromise on something. And your mind just is like, well, I could do that. I could, like, that's pride, just not taking it and doing it. And yeah.
Yeah, that's pride, and that's the rebellion, like the sin of witchcraft, too. So anytime we think we know better than God by not obeying his every command and every instruction and doctrine, that's pride, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about this? How about pride? Ready? I was telling Brother Purgos this today. Yeah, I know God will forgive me, but I just can't forgive myself. Isn't that pride?
Yeah, that would be one way that shows up.
I'm holding myself up higher even than God's forgiveness. Oh, God can forgive me, but I can't forgive myself. Or, oh, God forgives that man that did this to me, but I can't forgive him. That's proud. That's proud. That's pride. That's wickedness.
It could show, another way it would show up is in basically in a vain sense of competition.
Yep. That's like covetousness, right?
Yeah, or when the saints try to compete with one another and things like that.
Yep.
And shows up as that. That shows up a lot in novice believers more.
Yep, and how about this one, ready? So we're talking about pride is not obeying God. How about if you walk in your flesh and not in the spirit? Is that pride? You're focused on yourself.
Oh, yeah. Pride, selfishness. I mean, if you want to call it a different word, you could call it selfishness.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just good to think about, you know, we can say all what the world does is proud, but we're supposed to judge ourselves first and hardest and most. So we got to look at us and go, wait a minute, how can we Ready? Here would be one that would be proud, and I don't think we're guilty of this at all. We go out and we judge the churches, and we call out the modern pastors, and we tell them what they got to do and what they got to stop, and that they need to call their people out and teach them the truth and call them out and discipline them. What if we don't do it to ourselves? What if we're hypocrites? Aren't hypocrites proud?
Oh, yeah, partiality.
We're definitely not guilty of that, but that's something that everybody should watch out for. So, yeah, it's good to ponder these topics and aim them first at yourself. You know, Matthew 7, get thy plank out of your own eye, then you can help your brother with a splinter. So aim it at yourself, and then aim it at the body you're united to, your brothers and sisters you're closest to. Then aim it at anybody that claims Christ, and then warn the world about that sin. You got to repent and come out of all that if you ever want to be of Christ. So it's really good as we do these topics to always self-reflection, self-judgment. Aim it at ourselves first and most. And Paul says, you want to be judged? Judge yourself. I always tell men, you don't want speeding tickets? Stop speeding.
Yeah, hey, here's another one. Self-image.
Talk about it. What do you mean?
Well, it's a trap of pride that you can fall into, where instead of following Christ and judging and testing yourself, you spend and focus more on creating a self-image of who you are in the Lord, and you focus more on your self-image and trying to maintain this really nice, polished, whitewashed outside appearance of who you are, instead of a humble, realistic, truthful judging of yourself and repenting of sin and walking in the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to see, well, hold on, Brother Pergos, you want to see the opposite of pride? John the Baptist, the greatest man that ever came out of the womb of a woman, according to Jesus. John 3:30. John said earlier, I'm not fit to carry his sandals. And he said in John 3:30, I must decrease so Christ can increase. That should be our charge. Our lives, us, what we want, what we do every day, how we feel, all that should decrease so that we can increase Christ. That's the opposite of pride.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Pergos.
Well, that gave me another thing. Christ says, you know, take my yoke upon you, for I am weak and lowly of heart. So we're supposed to emulate him. He wasn't proud, even though he deserved the universe. It was his. Two other things popped into my mind. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring and disputings. As I understand that, if you're murmuring or disputing, you're submitted to his will, but you're not happy with his will. So that's a start of pride, in my opinion.
Yeah, let me give you a hint of that. I'm a born again Christian. I follow Christ, and I say to my brother, man, you know, I'm sick and tired of living this Christian life. Everybody hates me, and I got to live different. I got to do all this stuff. Man, this is really bugging me. So I'm doing it. I say I believe it. I'm not totally rebelling. It's kind of like if a man was to talk against his wife behind her back, totally against, you know, not even talking to her about it. It's like the murmuring. He's with her. He loves her. Or back gossiping about a brother. It's like murmuring. If you need a poster boy for that, look at the Israelites in the desert. Murmuring, grumbling. They weren't, you know what? Were they totally rebelling against God? Have you ever thought about this? Were the children in the desert, were they totally rebelling against God? They were like, okay, we'll do the Sabbath. Okay, we'll eat the manna. Okay, we're in the desert. They didn't run away. They could have ran back to Egypt. They didn't. They just mumbled and complained, and God was mad. So that shows us that even though we do the work of God, if we're doing it with the wrong heart, we're making God angry against us, and he will destroy us eventually. He will. If we're not thankful.
An unthankful heart is rooted in pride as well.
Yeah. I deserve this.
It's a sense of entitlement.
I want this. I should have better. Why do I have to do this? Things didn't go my way. That type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let's just make this really easy. What sin is not at its root core rooted in pride somehow.
Yeah, they all are. Built on lies and self and flesh. And pride, it just unravels. Pride is lies, is flesh. And it's the opposite of the mind of Christ. So it just falls apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else on pride, brothers?
This verse always comes to mind. John 7:18. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. It's people continually trying to lift themselves up in some way, through religious action or through worldly action.
You mean like coming up with a Bible translation, naming it after yourself, and then autographing it? And then selling it to make massive pride, a profit as well?
Embossed in gold with your name bigger than the word Bible.
Yeah.
And having more commentary notes than their scripture.
Yeah. Yeah, God hates the proud, and he will lift up the humble. So we want to make sure that we're rooting all that pride out of our lives in every way we can. So real quick, before we get out on this audio, so how do you root pride out of your life? Throw some bullet points at me. Hey, I got some pride still in my life. It comes up every once in a while. What should I do, man of God?
Repent, put it down, humble yourself in the dirt before God, and he will lift you up.
That's one. That's good. What else? How about walk in the Spirit?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Walk in the Spirit, not the flesh.
Yeah, because pride is flesh, unless you're a proud doer. You walk in the Spirit, you're not going to be living in pride. And if you're close to the Holy Spirit and listening, he's going to help you root out pride. Pride and the Holy Spirit will not coexist if you don't let them. But you'll grieve the Holy Spirit, and you can walk in your pride. But walk in the Holy Spirit, and it'll root out pride. That's like, kind of like flesh versus pride. That's just like, right there. Or excuse me, flesh versus spirit. It'll help root out pride. Brother Cool.
Another one would be losing your life.
Great. Don't hold on to any percentage of it.
Yep.
Yeah, you ever think about this? We talked about this. Remember I gave you the wife thing where if you thought your wife was being unfaithful and you wanted to see her phone and she hid 1% of her phone in a file and said, you can't see that, that would be the 1%. You'd say, I really want to see that 1%. No, you'd go, forget the rest of it. You're letting me see it. What's in that 1% part? No, you can't see that. You would want to see that 1%. I have a question. If we tell God, I'm 99% for you, I got 1%, and all my pride I got rid of. But guess what happens to all that pride, brothers? All the pride goes into what? The 1%.
Yeah, pride loves darkness.
Yeah. You think about that. You might have pride in all this stuff, and if you don't get rid of all your pride, as you get rid of stuff, the pride is going, and it ends up in that one thing. Ready? The rich man. Mark 10. Jesus said, one thing you lack. He loved his stuff. Everything else he did right, all of his pride and selfism was in his stuff. It didn't just have a little bit of pride. It all went into there. And he couldn't get rid of it, and he walked away sad. So don't ever think because you're holding out one thing on God, like I'm doing really good because look at all this stuff. No, you probably put everything in that one thing. And God says, that one thing you don't want to give me, that's the what I want most of all, right there. Amen?
Amen.
So sometimes the last thing to go is the hardest thing.
Because it's tied to your identity. It's the one thing besides Christ that you use to identify yourself. And self does not want to die. Because self is flesh.
Yeah,
because when you got 50 things, you're like, get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of that. You're narrowing it down. All of a sudden you get down to two and you go, there's only two left. And if there is any pride left in you, it's all in there. If there's any holding on, it's all in there. And you go, not these two. No. And God says, yeah, those are the ones I want. You love me? That's what I want.
Yeah, here's a great pride killer. Again, pride, love, darkness. Bring things into the light.
Yep.
That is a great pride killer.
How do I do that?
Confess it to God, to your brethren. Repent of it. Bring it into the light. Don't hide it. Don't whitewash it. Don't shove it under the rug. Bring it into the light, and there's humility in that. Just the act of you admitting, confessing, repenting, asking for accountability, it's like it's killing the pride. It's like choking it out.
It's putting light on it. Isn't there a verse somewhere in the Bible, somewhere in the New Testament, that says, confess your sins one to another?
Yeah, I think it's in James.
Yeah, it's in James. And why do we do that? We put light on it. When you put light on it, guess what? Satan doesn't do well in the light, and neither does the flesh. So it's good to get ahead of those things, confess them, get them in the light, and you'll help root them out that way. Otherwise, ready? If I have a question. If you have something you're struggling with that's sin, and you're not confessing it, are you harboring it?
Then it's willful.
It actually doesn't even mean if it's willful. If it's just in you. You got something in your flesh. And whether it be a bad thought that pops up and gets you, or you see something from your old life and it's just out of nowhere, it wasn't willful, and it tempts you. And then you go, oh, and you start getting fleshly about it. And then you start going, why can't I have that? Just one thing I want, why can't I have that? You didn't willfully sin yet, but it's there, it's stalking you. It's Satan, the roaring lion, looking how he can destroy you, and you don't run and confess it, you're kind of harboring it. Ready? If you had an old girlfriend, I'm just going to say this. If you had an old girlfriend before you were a believer, and she was calling in you and bugging you, and you're going, oh, I remember her. Ooh, she's calling me. If you don't confess it to a brother, are you harboring it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're bringing it up. If you don't bring it unto the light, again, sin, pride, all sin dwells in darkness. You bring it into the light, then you walk in the light, and then the blood of Christ cleanses us from sin, and we can have fellowship one with another.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the remedy for it.
Amen. And the Bible says that no man, like, abuses, well, I'm paraphrasing, a man takes care of his body. So if you knew you had cancer inside you, and you knew you could get it out, only a fool would go, I'm just going to hide that and tell nobody, I'm going to keep it inside, and I'm just going to hold on to it. Sin's a cancer. And so if you just hold on to it and don't tell anybody, don't do anything about it, or an infected wound somewhere that we can't see growing and it's becoming gangrene, you go, I ain't telling nobody, I'm just going to do nothing about it. It may kill you if the Lord allows you to die. It may kill you. So anything inside you that you know you're battling, even if it's not willful and you're not confessing it to get it out, and when you confess it, that means you want it gone. You don't confess it and keep harboring it. You want to confess it and say, I want it gone, and keep shining a light on it till it's gone. So, yeah, you don't want to harbor that stuff.
Amen.
Amen. So anything else? We covered a lot. Good job, Brother Akuo. Anything else on pride?
May the saints of God never have it and harbor it.
Amen. Let us root it all out, brother and sisters. Praise God. Thanks for your time, brothers. This will be up in the Ecclesia gathering area to edify everyone who listens.